There are things that hurt, there are patterns that are uncomfortable to recognize in ourselves. Sometimes we also have to do a cleanse, right? Not just of the dinner, of the meals we have, but of our friends. And that is hard because we have not been taught to say goodbye to those relationships that do not serve us. And when we go through trauma and come out of the trauma and heal the trauma, part of what happens is that we change so much that we are another person and that other person relates to other people. Because they enjoy other things. Changing that narrative that you deserve to feel good emotionally, physically, and to have everything you have always wanted. No one is exempt from achievements. The problem is that you focus on failure. The problem is that you focus on what you lack, on what you cannot do, not on the thousands of things you have been able to do.
Transformation happens every day, whether it is in your health, your financial, your emotional, your
relationship with food, your relationship with your body, your self-esteem, everything is interconnected. The injection helps you tremendously to stop that voice, to stop that anxiety, to feel full, to not overeat. But what you are going to eat, how you are going to gain muscle, how you are going to change your patterns, how you are going to change the way you relate to food and how food controls you, only you can do that. Today on Chauvin Podcast. Chauvin Podcast is presented by Yasan, your healthy lifestyle with Aladdin flavor. Jessica Miracle, the telemedicine platform that brings you closer to your best version. Visit jessicanical.com.
Hello, welcome back to Chauvin Podcast. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving me your time, your presence, your attention, my God. We are bombarded all day with so many things that for you to be here today for me is a blessing and a great gift. Remember to subscribe, hit the bell here and also share it. Everything that is shared multiplies. So I'm sure that today you'll have some nuggets of information that you'll be able to share with the people you love. So send it to them. You have to watch today's episode of Chauvin Podcast because we're going to be talking about something wonderful that will help you in your transformation process. And speaking of transformation, I obviously have to talk about my Yeshukin family. If you want a healthy transformation that includes nutrition, exercise, emotional health, and obviously movement, Yeshukin is your ally in this healthy transformation to recover and discover that new version of yourself that you deserve. So speaking of the different pillars of a transformation that obviously involves nutrition, emotional health, for me it's one of the most important parts and one of the parts that is least talked about and given least importance. And I believe that emotional health, whether you want to improve your health, your finances, or your relationship with your family, is always going to be the fundamental part. For me, it's that pillar that if your emotional health isn't balanced in those aspects, you're going to falter at some point in your life. In my case, speaking of emotional health, speaking of my weight transformation, since I was 14 years old, as you already know, I've experienced a transformation in my body and in my health. I weighed 300 pounds, then I lost 150 pounds, and throughout that process, I was always accompanied. Thank God, and thanks to my parents who took the initiative to take me to psychologists, psychiatrists, and life coaches. And the reason why in the 90s my dad knew about this was because my dad is a physics teacher, so he was very connected to Connie Mendez and everything related to emotional health. And when he saw that his son was overweight, I bit my nails so much from anxiety that they bled, and I lived in this anxiety because of my fatness, my weight, my height. So he decided to take me to psychologists and psychiatrists who helped me a lot, not only in that area, but they also helped me not to have to resort to taking pills to control this anxiety. And I think it's essential because it doesn't matter what method you're using, what diet you're on, it doesn't matter if you're losing weight with injections or if you did bariatric surgery or the traditional method of nutrition with supplements. There's always one thing that doesn't change, and that is that you also need to control your mind and dedicate time to your brain to change all your behavior patterns with respect to food. So, it's a very personal issue for me, as you've already noticed. I'm passionate about this topic because I've spent 30 years having to make decisions every time I have a plate of food. Last night, for example, it was, well, should I eat those cookies? I don't eat them, but I train at 5 in the morning, but I deserve it, but I've had a great week, I've celebrated things, so my internal conversation has always been and will surely be related to food, to my body. And my trainer tells me, you look super skinny. And I'm like, yeah, where do I put you? And there are people who are terrified of the word skinny, right? Because it's like, wow, no, I don't want to be there. So, this is a wonderful topic for me, and I have a friend, Daniela Sickle, who is here today to talk to us about this spectacular topic. Furthermore, she has not only experienced it firsthand through her family and through different relationships that she has had to navigate in terms of food, but she has also created a spectacular platform for Hispanics, for Latinos, where she can literally say, do online therapy. I mean, imagine this gift. We usually think that the benefit of going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist is to sit down with each other, and yes, it is wonderful. I have experienced it many times, but the spectacular gift of being able to have online therapy from wherever you are, from your phone, from your home, connecting and having those tools right there at hand is sensational. And she thought of us. Her platform is called Opcionio. You can go to opcionio.com and check it out, and we are going to talk about this topic. Donnie, I am glad you are here with us.
Ale, thank you for this beautiful invitation. I truly admire Yesu, Kenny, and everything he has given people, this opportunity to transform themselves, and the four pillars that he has are wonderful, because without one pillar there's no other. H is a bit of a setback in these transformations. People, in order to break a habit that has been in your life for years, you really have to work on all aspects. A metaphor that may sound familiar is that we can remodel our house and make it beautiful, but if the foundations of the house's construction are not solid, that remodeling will not last forever. That house can fall down and everything that looks pretty is useless. And this happens a bit with emotions, the relationship with food, the relationship with our body, self-esteem, everything is interconnected. Jesse Ken is the number one nutrition system among Latinos in the United States. Supplements made with natural and clinically proven ingredients. Designed in a three-phase plan to detoxify, transform, and maintain your best version. Visit yyucum.com and start today. And we have to start somewhere. If we start working in therapy with our emotions and what it means to us, our bodies and our relationship with food, the label that our family has on us and the label that we have of ourselves, we can start to transform our self-esteem and from there a transformation of eating habits can come. Or the other way around, you start working on your eating habits, you realize that you start to generate changes and that's when you start to question that narrative that you have about yourself and you need that space that is therapy, where you have a professional person who knows what these emotional processes are like and who can support you from a place that no one else can. Because your friends and family have a relationship with you, and that relationship with you means that help comes from a very good place, but it doesn't allow you to really review where your conversation with yourself is coming from. Where those anxieties that you're channeling with food are coming from, where your procrastination comes from to start a transformation, because that transformation means changing who you are from a very deep place and that's very difficult to achieve. Wow, what you say is beautiful, Donnie. There are several things that I'm highlighting in yellow.
Procrastination, which we're going to talk about.
Sabotage, which we're going to talk about. Please write it down somewhere so we can come back to it. And also the impact that family and our environment have regarding food and regarding a transformation, because I think that there are many branches, the impact of family and then, the lifeguard that is a therapist, because for example, we find from family, or I have found in my personal experience, that person who, well, is codependent, right? Who wants to help you with everything and wants to save you. And the codependent is a blessing because they always help you and always give you a hand and always have the cookie or the dish that you like or you know. But the codependent is also torture because they are basically facilitating your addiction at that moment. So, no, family can sometimes be your greatest blessing when mom tells you, son, I cooked you the dish that you like, that fried fish. Or when you are trying to eat healthy, that manipulation, hey, I make it for you with so much love and you despise me.
I love having you talk about this because there is something very important and that is this codependency. That's the way to give love in many families, and that's the way to give love to this person. That food means love, right? What happens when you start to say no? That person has to change their relationship with you. And that's also very difficult. Because you've spent years relating to each other, yes, grandparents with their grandchildren, you bring them chocolate, you cook food for the family, etc., and the abuse of that love and that comfort that the person feels when they receive that, that relationship is going to have to change. So, it's not just your relationship with food, your relationship with your body, it's your relationship with everyone, because for people that was something that you enjoyed and that's something that brings you happiness, tranquility, through which you kill your anxieties. And when that changes, people have to change the way they relate to you.
Yes, it's hard to let go too because sometimes, for example, when I quit smoking, speaking of another topic, I remember that I would smoke with friends who smoked, of course.
And we would smoke when we would go out for a drink. So, for me to make such a strong decision, and I'm sure it happens to you at home if you're quitting smoking, quitting marijuana or quitting drinking alcohol, sometimes you also have to do a cleanse, right? Not only of the dinner, of the meals you have, but of your friends. And that's hard because we haven't been taught to say goodbye to those relationships that don't contribute to us. How do you do it? Where do you start? Donnie, you know what, Alejandro? What you mentioned is very important, because there you see how trauma, when someone goes through trauma, and really defines that you have a problem in your life with your physical health, because when you are overweight, you are not healthy, and that lack of health takes away your mobility, takes away your energy, takes away your concentration, takes away your libido, and interferes with all your professional, emotional, romantic, family relationships, everything, with your friendships. When you are not comfortable with your body, how many people, including the people listening to us, will get involved, get dressed to go out and not feel comfortable with how they are dressed and say, I'm not going. I don't want to go to that invitation. I don't want to go to the beach. I don't want to go on that boat. I don't want to show myself because I don't feel comfortable with what I'm going to show up for. Quote. And it also happens to you when you go to a job interview. This doesn't look good on me. You take this and that insecurity into your professional life where you can have all the tools to win that position. So, how do you really recognize it? I have to make a change from a place of understanding, of acknowledging this problem that I have, which is very traumatic to do. And when we go through trauma and come out of it and heal the trauma, part of what happens is that we change so much that we become another person and that other person relates to other people. Because they enjoy other things. 40% of adults in the United States live with obesity and within our Hispanic community the numbers are even more alarming. Right? By 2030, 1 in 2 adults will suffer from obesity in the United States. The solution is GLP-1 injections. These injections act like a hormone in our body, reducing appetite and slowing down the digestive system. For this reason, today I feel the responsibility to bring you to Yesu Kanushin. Science evolves and so do we. I want you to go to yesikinmedical.com right now and get your $100 discount for your first month. With Yesu Medical, you will have a team of doctors and experts by your side, and you will continue to receive the support of our nutritional supplements to ensure a lasting transformation. Take action now. I invite you to try the new Yes solution. So, that friend whose relationship was based on smoking marijuana, drinking, or overeating is no longer the person you want to spend time with because you have changed. That person has not changed. And people who are married, who are listening to us, will also realize that many marriages fall apart because one of the people changes. You transform because you go through a trauma that causes you to change the mental structures through which you see the world. It's like changing your glasses. The glasses you used to use no longer work for you, and those of us who need new glasses as the years go by. And if you keep the glasses you've had for 10 years, you won't see. That's what trauma is like. Donnie, explain that to me. I'm very interested in trauma. What is it like? Where is it created? What is trauma? Trauma is when something happens that changes the way you perceive the world. So, something very drastic is when a woman is raped, right? It changes the way you perceive the world. Before, you felt safe in relationships with men, and suddenly after you are raped, your way of perceiving relationships with men changes because they become a threat. They can physically harm you and you feel the emotional damage. Right? So, men stop being this relationship that can make you feel happy, loved, desired, and it becomes a risky relationship. So, note that trauma is not the physical rape. Trauma is what happened inside you because of that rape.
I mean, it's like when a very strong emotion happens and it permeates your senses.
Yes, when you change, there was an earthquake and my house collapsed. You know what? I didn't think my house could collapse when the building collapsed here in Miami. It was traumatic for everyone. That was a collective trauma. Why? Because you felt calm knowing that you could go to bed in your building in the United States and that you would wake up alive. When you go to bed afraid, wow, like the laws in the city aren't protecting me enough and I could be living in a structure that could collapse on me, that was traumatic and it's a collective trauma. The pandemic was a collective trauma.
But they're always this drastic because I've been in therapy, and for example, last Thursday I was in therapy and I was doing brain spotting, which is a therapy that basically plays with your eyes. And suddenly, this memory came to me of a time when I was having a really hard time financially, and this memory, that I had like 80 envelopes in front of me, created in me a terrible fear of losing everything, a panic, an anguish about money. And I, well, imagine, my financial bankruptcy process was in 2008. I didn't remember that moment. I mean, maybe it doesn't always have to be conscious or it doesn't always have to be so drastic.
I love that you say that because there's something super important. We all have traumas. Even being born is a trauma. Going from the womb to coming out into the world is traumatic. When can we work on that trauma? When you were able to recognize it, to see it. It's like when we got home. Oh, what happened here? Oh, the picture is crooked. That's why there was something that bothered me. Then I can fix it. When you recognize, there's something in the relationship with money that I repeat and I can go back, and that's why going to therapy is so important. Because it helps you realize where that trauma comes from and what you can do so that that trauma stops managing you the wrong way. A rape woman can take many paths. Let's
use an example that has more to do with food.
With food, okay?
A trauma that has to do with food and that people can relate to the topic.
For example, a person who finally manages to reach a weight that they feel comfortable with, right? And every time they go on vacation, when they are not at a weight that they feel comfortable with, they binge and gain a lot of weight, and then they come back from vacation and it is impossible for them to get back to balance. For that person, going on vacation can be a trigger, right? For their food trauma. Yes, for that person, going on a date can also be a trigger for that food trauma. To give an example.
Sure.
The fact that you recognize that does it. Why? Because this person may never go on vacation again because of that fear, or they may start going on vacation a lot or have a bad time on vacation without recognizing why, right? Or they repeat that pattern of what they did on vacation when they had this weight problem, and that today stops working for them. When you go to therapy and you start to recognize those discomforts, because there's something very important, things are neither good nor bad. Things don't work and they stop working for us. Things have a function at each stage of life and they stop having a function. So when we're training for a marathon, we have to eat a certain way, and at that stage of life it works. When we have a sugar problem, at that stage of life it works for you to eat a certain way, right? When that stops existing in your life, you have to readjust. And the same thing happens with emotions, and the same thing happens with relationships. It's not the same having little children where you have to feed the little ones 3 or 5 times and sit at the table and feed them. Your relationship with food at that time is going to be different than when your children are no longer at home, when you're alone and you can choose different foods because you don't have to feed babies anymore. So at each stage you have to adjust, and this adjustment brings challenges. And when you have trauma related to that, it brings greater challenges. So being able to recognize them helps you adjust in a conscious and proactive way, knowing, I'm going on vacation, I'm going to know that this is causing me anxiety. That anxiety makes me hypervigilant and hypersensitive and unfriendly and maybe aggressive with my family. It causes me to fight with people when I'm going on a trip. What can I do to stop repeating that pattern? Why isn't it working for me?
Where do you start? How do you resolve it? For example, someone who is going to choose me, how do you determine that they have trauma? Because sometimes we go along and we don't realize, right, that we have it. Where do you start?
I love it, Alejandro. So first, just deciding to go to therapy is an excellent start. It's really recognizing that there is something very important in the world that we live in. Every year we get our blood drawn to check our cholesterol, sugar, and triglyceride levels, but no one acknowledges that, well, I also have a few emotions going on inside me, so why not go somewhere to acknowledge them, measure them, and understand them? That place is therapy. At option I, we understand how challenging it is to begin this process, and we understand that we don't know where to start. So, we have 5 stages. The first stage at option I is self-awareness. You're going to get to know yourself, you're going to understand your life patterns, your family, and what narratives are in your family that you bring that aren't yours and that have accompanied you and that are really hurting you. Once you get past that stage of self-awareness, comes the stage of recognition. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Which ones do you want to continue managing and strengthening? Where does each of the things you have work or not work for you? At work, in your personal relationships, with your friends. What is it in each of those areas of your life that you want to strengthen and that you want to stop doing because it is a weakness that is not bringing you good things? Next comes how to incorporate this into your life. Small steps. This week I am going to incorporate recognizing the good that I do. I am going to keep a journal where every day I write down the good things I did today, because I tend to only see the negative, to recognize with gratitude what good things there are in my life and what things I want to perpetuate and multiply and continue doing. Then comes the consolidation of those things, because the hardest thing is to consolidate them. Sometimes we do it for a while, but it is very normal to go back to that sabotage where we return to those narratives that hurt us. And finally, the transformation, and it is very similar to the physical transformation, is to recognize what works for me to exercise, what works for me to eat, what times work for me to eat, etc., right? And you start recognizing which foods are good for you and which ones aren't, which exercises are good for you and aren't good for you, and little by little you incorporate them and keep them up until you consolidate them and achieve a transformation that lasts forever, which is what we all want. And that doesn't mean you can't go on a trip and eat delicious food. That doesn't mean you have to know
when and how to do it.
And I think it's also important to touch on the point that it's an infinite transformation. I mean, transformation happens every day, whether it's in your health, your finances, or your emotional side. But, I mean, going to therapy isn't something that people think, well, you're going to keep going to therapy, and it's like I go to therapy endlessly. I mean, it's something that I'm like an onion that I peel over and over again and different layers are always coming out. And if I want to go to the next level, one have to keep developing my skills, like at the gym, right? Literally like the gym, like health. I mean, it's not like I ate healthy for a week. Now I'm going to eat everything I have. I mean, it's constant, right? It's
continuous. There are two things I want to tell you, what you said I love. Number one, when you go to the gym it hurts, it's uncomfortable, and in order to continue developing your muscles you have to increase the weight you carry, right? And that discomfort is what leads to transformation. On the emotional side it's the same. Obviously there are things that hurt. There are patterns that are uncomfortable to recognize in ourselves. It's important to do it to really achieve that change that we want. And therapy is like going to physical therapy after you break your leg. You're going to go for a while. Why? Because you have to strengthen your muscles, because you have to use crutches until little by little you get stronger, and then you can let go of those crutches and there will be times when you'll need them again. Why? Because life is not always linear. There is something important for everyone listening. We have all lost a loved one, and if you haven't lost them yet, you will, because that is the natural cycle of life. So thank God we have people we love and people who meant something important in our lives, and how to handle those good times and those bad times. Life is like an electrocution device, up, down, up, down. If we are flat, we are flatline, we are dead. So, like in those peaks when we are doing well, it is also important to go to therapy. What makes me feel good right now? Because right now I am happy in my marriage, because right now I am abundant in my career and financially. What is it that makes me maintain the weight I want without it hurting me? That I am eating well? That I don't have more anxiety? That I have been able to pause or lower the volume of that conversation about food at that moment? How important it is to go to therapy to recognize it.
Absolutely. I love it.
Not only in a crisis. And I love what you were talking about too, that, I mean, progress is uncomfortable. I mean, it's hard. At least in the financial part, when you really want to manage your money and then multiply it, it's cumbersome, it's annoying, and sometimes it scares us, and sometimes it doesn't, because the dark, the unknown always terrifies us. So, that's part of therapy, or that's part of saying, okay, I'm going to start taking care of my health. Where do I start? The process is going to be difficult, and I think we have to talk about it because people think that going to therapy is going to be great, or starting a health journey and you're going to want to do it every day. Most of the time, 98% of the time, I'm going to exercise without wanting to do it, and every day the alarm goes off and I'm still sleepy, 1,000 negative thoughts come to mind, I want to cancel the trainer, I mean, so many things, and it doesn't stop. So, I have to manage that conversation because my negative thinking keeps happening. I'm the one who is now bigger than the negative thought. I acknowledge it and I say, wait, you're an intrusive thought, I acknowledge you, thank you for serving me for so long, but you're no longer useful to me because you're not aligned with my next version. So, it's like going to the next level, right? You always need new tools. There's something important that you said, you acknowledge the trauma, you acknowledge the emotion that it brings up, but you don't let it rule your life.
You acknowledge the sabotage of not wanting to go, but you don't let it rule and paralyze you and keep you from going. And all growth hurts. Every human being listening to us crawled to start walking. They stood up 1,000 times, they fell down 1,000 times, and those falls formed their hips and the muscles in their hips and legs so that they could then walk with stability. And that's what happens to us in all the changes and growth that we make in our lives. How beautiful, Donnie. I have a friend who just lost 17 pounds in a month. She started taking injections, semaglutide, she went to Jessica Medical, she did the whole process, she started super happy and she tells me, yesterday, I lost 17 pounds in a month. I've never lost weight so fast. She feels happy. I say, how do you feel first? He tells me, I'm happy. I have energy. I'm 54 years old. And he tells me, I haven't felt this good in like 30 years, huh, but wow. I think I'm going to quit. And I say, what, there you go. I mean, it's like one thing doesn't make sense with the other. And he tells me, totally makes sense. Okay.
Why? Because one sabotages oneself and why one boycotts one's success.
Because it's like thinking, I've always been A and now I'm going to be B and I don't even know how to write B, because I've always been A, how so? How is this Bona going to reach the world right now? And I don't know who I am. I look in the mirror and I don't recognize myself. I have to change my self-image, my self-esteem, my concept of myself. I'm going to go to those family dinners and I'm no longer going to be that person that everyone saw as.
Yes, you're not going to be the fat one anymore.
You're not someone else.
Your identity changes, literally. Exactly, exactly. So, what does one do?
From poor to rich too. Like that. I've always been poor. I don't know, rich. Nobody sees me as the rich one. Just as rich to poor. People who lose money continue to behave like rich people even though they no longer have resources. But that's your definition of a person, your self-image, your self-concept, etc. That's the narrative you've always been born with. And it's important because these narratives make you act and these actions make you achieve. So, when you're the poor guy, that self-fulfilling prophecy, you act like a poor guy. That's why it's so important in schools with children that you give that child the message. You can achieve whatever you want. And if that's the message, that child won't have limits in anything they try. If the concept is that you can't do it, that you're useless, that you're a poor guy, that you're the brute of the house, they're always going to behave like a brute. And it's not because they are, it's not because they're less capable than their siblings, than their cousins, no, it's because they believed it. So, when you're born being the chubby one, you act like the chubby one and the chubby ones eat more and look like chubby ones. So, the moment you stop doing that, it's like, okay, but I'm going to go to my mom's house, and the fat guy won't be there anymore. I
mean, he has. So, first, two questions. How do you recognize that you're sabotaging yourself? Because obviously it's happened to me all my life, right? That I've sabotaged myself all the time, throughout this whole transformation process, at many times. I'm in my perfect moment and what do? I'm going to celebrate. And what do I celebrate with? With a double pizza and a hamburger. And it's like, but if you've been working hard for 2 months to achieve this, you took the photo, you celebrated, and how are you going to celebrate? With food, right? So how does the 2020 hit you and you realize that you're sabotaging yourself? My friend who after losing these pounds are hundreds of thousands of yesu can success stories. Say, I'm going back to my old ways. How do I realize that it's sabotage and that I'm sabotaging myself? And what do I do to change that? It's
very good, and this is something that is worked on a lot in therapy, asking questions. It's important in therapy to work a lot on how to recognize when we truly can't or are truly sabotaging ourselves and to ask simple questions. For example, I'll give you the example of a person who is having problems in her marriage. I come from a family of divorced parents, so for me, marriage is obviously going to end at some point, and that's how I relate to that. I come from my self-concept that I'll never be able to be thin. Yes. I remember a patient who once told me, I had stomach surgery, and I'm losing weight incredibly. And I told my mom that when I can wear a bikini, I'll love being able to sunbathe on my belly for the first time in my life. And her mom looked at her and said, look, you're going to lose weight, but not that much. If you're always going to be chubby, you're not going to be able to wear a bikini. Quote. So, notice how those narratives make you act and keep you in that sabotage because it's what you and everyone else expects of you. So, when you recognize, this is where I want to get to, right? I'm going to. When people go to trek to the top of the Himalayas, they have base camps. They go up, down, up, down, up, down. Because if you climb to that peak, without going through all those bases, the level of oxygen deprivation will kill you, literally kill you. So you have to go to base camp, get used to it, allow yourself to adapt in order to move on to the next change. And that's what you have to do in everything in life. You have to stabilize yourself in this new concept of yourself, in this new label tag, a label that you're going to put on yourself in order to continue maintaining it. And what causes many people to sabotage themselves is going from one peak to the next, one peak to the next, without realizing these bases that you have to consolidate before continuing. You don't build a building from the 80th floor to the ground floor. You build a foundation and go 1, 2, 3, 3. That's the same thing we do in therapy, and it's the same thing we do when we lose weight. You don't lose 90 pounds in day one. No, that's not how it works. So how do you take the time to recognize, this is what worked for me? I lost 13 pounds. What's working for me? Wow, I can. How do I recognize who this person is with 13 pounds less, and how am I going to achieve the next 13?
Yeah, and I think that's also part of celebrating those small successes, right? And say, okay, if something is working for me, I have to repeat it, multiply it, rather than isolate it. Quote, do you think fear is also part of the fear of finding what we've been looking for our whole lives? Fear, because you know what happens when we fail, it makes us further consolidate that bad concept that we have. If I prefer not to do it to avoid failure.
How so?
And that's where the sabotage also comes from. I'm so afraid of not being the person I want to be with respect to my weight, that I prefer to try because that way I don't feel. You see that you can. No, I never tried. I didn't fail. Of course, I've always had this weight that I'm unhappy with.
And the person who, suddenly, the child that you were saying that his father told him, you can't do it, you're stupid, you're incapable. If he's going through a process, he's achieving success, he comes back again and says, no, I'd better quit because I can't do it, I'm the incapable one. So, I have to prove my dad and the world right that I'm incapable. And if we think about smokers and those who have dieted 1,000 times to lose weight and have tried to quit smoking 1,000 times, there comes a time when you say, no, I'm going to smoke forever. I'm always going to be fat. Quote,
because feeling like a failure is even more painful than staying where you are. So it's like I'm not going to apply for that postgraduate program because they won't accept me, because I can't, I've never been able to, I don't apply and I'll stay where I am. I've always been poor, I'll stay here. What do you do, for example, in therapy when a person keeps hitting that door and you see them on the verge of achieving that success, but they turn back? You help them recognize those small achievements that they're not only having in that aspect of their life, but that they've had 1,000 times and thousands of other things, because no one is exempt from achievements. The problem is that you focus on failure. The problem is that you focus on what you lack, on what you can't do, not on the thousands of things you could have done. And that's incredible in therapy. You see mothers who come to you, and I'm a terrible mother, but your children have already had all their vaccinations. Well, it's obvious, right? It's not obvious. And are your children enrolled in school? Of course. And what school is it? Well, it's excellent because I looked at 10 schools. Oh, who did that? And do your children wear a uniform to school? Well, of course. And who bought them the uniform? And they always have food at home and there's always light in your house. You start to realize everything the person did to ensure that those children have everything they have, right? But all that person sees is that the child hasn't achieved A, B, or C, or that she's not perfect in A, B, or C, and she focuses on that, and we do that with everything. Look, you gave up sugars, that's really hard, you know? You're doing intermittent fasting because you realized it worked for you. You're walking. No, but I want to run a marathon. But to run a marathon, you first have to walk. So, in therapy, that's what the professional helps you with. Because when you tell your friends about your failures, your friends suffer with you. It's hard for your friends to say, well, but you've had that pattern for 20 years. It's always happened to you. Recognize it in these other aspects of your life. Quote. Wow. In some way, it's a transformation. In this case, we're talking about weight, health. Well, it obviously involves a change in nutrition, in your movement changes, and in emotional health. How important is mental and emotional health when you're in this transformation? Because I think that, in the case of Yesuin, for example, people buy the entire box of the product. It has the nutrition guide in it. They don't read it. It has the 7 steps to improve your emotional health. It has the heart band to remind them to love themselves. But it's like we don't do the work. And I think the first job is to take action and also improve your mental health so that you can finish it. Take action and continue. You don't know what, Alex, the external is always easier than the internal. It's always easier to buy a product that you think is the product for you. We'll solve it. It is always easier to inject yourself with semi-nutide because it will solve it for you. The other job is the most challenging, which is to say, this is a tool, this is a cane, but I have to do everything else. No one is going to do it for you. Just like with muscles. To this day in the world, there is nothing that can build muscle that is not yourself. And that is our money that we are going to have for old age. It is going to be what is going to allow us to walk, not have back pain problems, thousands of other things, and if you do not do it, no one can do it for you. There is no injection that will help you. So, a little bit, the injection helps you enormously to stop that voice, to stop that anxiety, to feel full, to not overeat. But what you are going to eat, how you are going to build muscle, how you are going to change the patterns, how you are going to change the way you relate to food and food controls you, only you can do that.
And the control of the sabotage, I have people who tell me, I lost 20 pounds with the injection in a month, but I stopped because imagine, $200 and it's like, there you go. I mean, we're talking about the fact that you've spent your entire life with this emotional and physical burden that has restricted your ability to live, and now you're seeing it as an expense, not as an investment in your health. No.
I love that you bring it up because I think there's something super important about that investment. Or therapy, that is, exactly, you have the investment in your physical health. You have the investment in your emotional health. What people don't realize is the return on that investment. What people don't realize is that being physically well saves you physical pain, future illnesses, and thousands of other things. And being emotionally well allows you to achieve goals that you could never achieve financially, in maintaining healthy emotional relationships, in maintaining your marriage. There's nothing more expensive than getting a divorce. There's nothing more expensive for your children than getting a divorce because of the emotional impact it has on your children. So that investment isn't immediate, it's in the medium and long term, but it's the money that will give you the greatest financial return in your life. Because when you get to that point, job interview with personal confidence and that you understand in your work that the patterns that you have been repeating are going to be repeated in everything and that recognizing them will allow you to achieve the success that you deserve. Changing that narrative that you do deserve, that you deserve to feel good emotionally and physically and to have everything you have always wanted. We all deserve it, and recognizing that deservingness that makes us feel like Superman is what you achieve in therapy. And that, and that I believe has also happened to me, Donnie, that, I mean, you can tell yourself in front of the mirror, I deserve it, I am successful, I am thin. Number one, action is important, taking action, but second, changing that belief system that you do in therapy, because if not, 1,000 people can tell you, hey, how pretty you are. But if suddenly you have a negative belief because when you were a child your parents told you that you were the ugly one in the house and you are not changing it, you will always feel ugly. It does not matter how many people tell you that you are pretty. So that belief system is also addressed in therapy. There's something very important that's important to understand, and everyone gets it when this is explained to them. We think, those thoughts give us feelings, they generate feelings, and those feelings are what generate action. I think I can't control myself, my food makes me anxious, and I eat. When you go to therapy and change your thoughts, I am able to control myself, I know where this comes from. I am a person with self-control. I am a person who understands the difference between abuse and so on, everything that thoughts can bring. Therefore, I change my feelings. I no longer feel sad, I feel empowered, I am not anxious, I feel in control and I act on them.
Totally. Notice that it happens to me with the example I used a little while ago of the exercise. I have done that consciously, right? I wake up and say, oh, 5 in the morning, I don't want to get up. And what I've done is acknowledge it. Okay. Whose thought is this?
No, which version of Alejandro's thought is this? Well, it's the lazy version, the version that procrastinates. I want to talk about that topic. The version that, suddenly, is always complaining about the result because it's horrible when night comes and I haven't trained, because then I'm upset because I feel like I failed. So I say, okay, wait, I have to do something different from what my mind is telling me, right? And I start to associate that negative thought instead of, oh, I'm not going to sleep enough, whatever it is, I start to associate it with something positive, that is, I'm going to train. I'm going to feel better when I finish. I'm going to maybe improve my endorphins. I'm going to listen to a couple of audiobooks while I'm training, because I want to have that knowledge. I put on some music that I love, I mean, I start to associate it with things that I do like and it changes what you're saying, the feeling regarding that. So, instead of having a negative feeling, now it has a much more positive feeling and it gives me the action of going, getting up, putting on my shoes and already being at the gym, right? And why do we procrastinate? Because it's really uncomfortable to do something challenging. It's really uncomfortable. Why? Because we're afraid of failing and the more we procrastinate, the fewer opportunities you have to confirm that you're not made to fail at everything, that you can do it.
So, people who procrastinate a lot don't get that feeling of accomplishment. Therefore, they live paralyzed. So, there comes a time when a person is skeptical of doctors, skeptical of the options you have to change your diet, to change your body, you're afraid to go to another nutritionist, you're afraid to try another way to lose weight. So, I procrastinate. Oh, they told me that these injections can help me. No, it's just that I don't like injections, I'm scared of getting injections, nothing ever works for me, it's just that you don't understand, my body is different, you don't understand. No. I'm always going to look like this. Why? Because you're scared to try it. And then the time and money are another justification for why you don't do it. It's because it's very expensive. No, 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 it's not about money, because it's also proven that people end up spending less on food and restaurants and so on when they get injections. So that money you spend on the injection you're saving somewhere else. When you get to the end of the month you're not spending more. But it's that emotional fear of facing another opportunity to fail or succeed. So, that's why I procrastinate.
Wow. To leave, Donnie, how do I fall in love with the habit? How do I fall in love with a new version? How do I reconcile with that version that I suddenly don't know? That's where the
wonderful thing about the therapy process is how you can forgive the person 10 years ago who made all those decisions. Understand who that person was 10 years ago who made all those choices work for them. And start falling in love with your life process, you know? Falling in love with everyone. We come to this life to grow. It's up to us to decide when we start doing it, when we start transforming ourselves. And in therapy, you have that hour a week with us at Option I. Anyone who goes to OptionE.com will be able to understand how we handle ourselves. We've eliminated many of the excuses that people have for going to therapy. We have wonderful prices. For less than $50 per session, you can have couples therapy, individual therapy, etc., with therapists with the best experiences and professional studies in the world with all the cultures you need, because we understand that feeling that your therapist understands where you come from, understands your cultural background, is essential. Everything is completely online, so it doesn't matter if you travel for work, you can keep track of your therapy, because you will be able to do your sessions from your mobile phone, and we know that it is difficult to choose a therapist and get started. So, the first session in Option I is with a wellness consultant who will explain to you what the therapeutic process is like in Option I, and you will choose together, depending on your reason for consultation, which therapist is perfect for you. And that is how we help people like you at Yesu Ken, Alejandro, to transform their lives and achieve their best version from the best possible place, which is getting to know ourselves, recognizing ourselves, and thus transforming ourselves.
How beautiful, Donnie. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for creating an option. I believe that it is a wonderful alternative for Hispanics all over the world so that they can take action and begin to face these challenges from a different point of view, that we are not like that. Sometimes we act in different ways due to different limiting beliefs, but those limiting beliefs can be changed, they can be transformed.
Absolutely, absolutely, Ale. And thank you for giving people so many tools to transform their physical selves, which are hyper-connected with the emotional selves, and that they are not separate, and that we have to understand that everything that is seen on the outside, there is something inside, and everything we have inside influences what is outside. We are interconnected. Mind and body are one. And when people only work on their body and leave their mind aside, that does not last over time.
100%. How wonderful. So, well, you who are watching me, go now to opciono.com so that you too can begin that new transformation in your life in any aspect. In your finances, in your health, in your family relationship, in your relationship with your partner, in any area of your life, you can discover your new version. So we invite you to go right now too, to be able to remove all those layers that part of your life has so that you can change it and transform it as you deserve.
Remove that emotional and physical weight from your body.
Absolutely. That's right.